Next three Psalms, 57, 58, 59, and then Psalm 75, all have a very similar theme. And but there'll be enough in them that we won't be repeating ourselves, I trust. This morning we preached about being snared by fear and saved by faith. And I hope that was a help to you. You know, so many people get that backwards. And they think that if they fear God and they serve God and they obey God, they think that they get snared. They think they're caught in some kind of trap. The Bible says there's liberty in Jesus Christ. There's not trapped entrapment, there's liberty there. But then they also think that by trusting man, it gives them liberty. When in fact, it puts them right back in bondage. And so we want to be careful we don't get that mixed up. Don't want to be thinking about that vice versa. And again, David learned that lesson this morning about trusting God. All right, Psalm 57 tonight. Bible says this, verse 1. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Here's that word, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Tremendous psalm again tonight. And similarly, like we've seen so far, and many of these in this second section. This is another psalm that deals with the application of the Jews during the tribulation time. Okay, and you can imagine some of these things being said to them out of their heart toward God during the tribulation time. And as we continue to say during these messages, I'm glad as a born-again believer, I won't be on the earth during the tribulation time. Okay, and the danger is when I say something like that, church people like to turn the pastor off, because if this is a psalm about the Jews in tribulation time, I'm not a Jew, I'm not in the tribulation time, I'll check out for 45 minutes. Please don't do that. Okay, please don't do that. You'll get help tonight if you want it. So let's pray. We'll ask God to help us and we'll dive right in. Again, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for the good morning service. Father, thank you for this time now to come back to church and open your word and hear what you have to say to us. I pray you give us ears to hear, Lord, a heart to understand, as Gideon prayed, that we'd be doers of the word, not hearers only. Father, help us tonight to focus on what you have for us. Put all the cares of the world, all the plans of the week upcoming, all the things that would steal our concentration and attention away from you, I pray that you would arrest those, and Lord, help our minds and hearts to focus on the word of God. Pray our hearts would be open, that the word would have free course tonight and be glorified, even as it is in heaven. And we pray that the Holy Ghost would not be grieved, quenched, or resisted in any way, and that you'd help us to learn this valuable lesson. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take the title tonight out of verse 7, where David said twice, "My heart is fixed." And so you can title this, "A Fixed Heart." But before we get there, we've got another subtitle that gives us a definite context. And the subtitle here is "The Chief Musician, Altisketh," which we'll get to here in a minute, "Miktam," which means to receive instruction of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So this morning we were in 1 Samuel 21 through the end of that chapter. Tonight, 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5. Okay, so these are happening in succession. Again, David a type of the Jews during the tribulation period. Saul a type of the Antichrist trying to kill the Jews. Doeg the Edomite and everybody else that's turning David over to Saul is a picture of those that would betray the Jews of their own family and their own nation. A terrible time. And so again, I'm glad I'm not going to be here, but we'll learn the lesson tonight, what God has for us. So before we go to 1 Samuel 22, this word Altisketh is going to show up in Psalm 57, Psalm 58, Psalm 59 subtitles, and also Psalm 75. This word simply means do not destroy. Do not destroy. And can't you imagine a Jew in that tribulation time as year 6 rolls around, year 7's coming around, they're just, man, God, please don't destroy us. Please don't destroy us. And so that's what this word means. It's, again, it's a melody, similarly to the one this morning that we talked about, which I probably can't pronounce again. I practiced all week and thought I did pretty good. But anyway, these words being set to an established melody, okay, is what's being talked about here. And certainly this would be David's prayer as he is running from Saul. God, please don't destroy me. The Jew running from the Antichrist, God, please don't destroy me. And we'll remind ourselves, Lamentation 3 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And so we appreciate God not destroying us, because we sure deserve it sometimes. All right, 1 Samuel 22. This is David fleeing from Saul in the cave Adullam, and something happens at this cave. That's interesting. Something happens here that we're not going to get a lot into tonight in terms of the details, but it is a beautiful picture of New Testament salvation, David being a type of Christ in 1 Samuel 22. And we'll just set the tone here, and then we'll go back to Psalm 57 and deal with a fixed heart. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Some thoughts on some practical application there would be a blessing. 1 Samuel 22, Bible says this, verse 5, David therefore departed thence, that's from Gath, from the Philistines, from the enemy, where he about got himself killed because he acted on his fears instead of his faith. That's what we preached this morning. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. I think that's a pretty big statement. It sounds like, it's pretty vague, but maybe we could, it's all his father's house. It sounds like his brothers went down there that made fun of him before he killed Goliath. It sounds like maybe David's house and his brothers and sisters and maybe some of the relatives have accepted him as being the new king. And they hear he's out there running for his life from Saul, and they know, hey, you know what, we're David's family. They're liable to come over here and kill us too, so maybe we ought to get out of town. And it says, verse 2, everyone that was in distress, ever been there? Everyone that was in debt, hopefully if you've been there, you got out. Don't go into it, amen. And everyone that was discontented, that would be no independent Baptist, would it? Distressed, indebted, discontented people gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. This is where David's a type of Jesus Christ in verse 2, and that would be a great salvation message if somebody wants to preach that. Verse 3, David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while David was in the hold. So obviously David's mom and dad are in danger. Perhaps his brothers, maybe they just joined the army under David, who knows. But he's making provision. And I like this about David. I like this that he has the mindset to take care of his mom and dad while he's running for his life. And that Bible verse about children, honor thy father and thy mother, doesn't go away until mom and dad are gone. And then you ought to still honor them, even if they're not here to accept that honor. Okay? That's amen. That's good preaching tonight, brother. All right, so he makes provision for his family. All those in distress, all those in debt, all those discontented come to David in the cave Adullam. And so this is where he pens Psalm 57, as far as we know in the context. You can head back over to Psalm 57. And there's a lot of great statements in there. I'm not going to go through them in depth tonight. Again, it's a picture of the Jew during the tribulation time. But I want to pick out this phrase where David says in verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." He says it twice there. If you'll turn to Psalm 108 and 112, or the other four places, or the other three places, two places, excuse me. There's four places total in Psalms. The other two places, Psalm 108:1 and Psalm 112, we'll look at those here, about a fixed heart. It says in Psalm 108, verse 1, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory." If you remember back in Psalm 57, he says that my heart is fixed twice, and then he says, "I will sing and give praise." There's something about a fixed heart that praises God. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, "Awake my glory," in Psalm 57, "awake psaltery and harp. I will wake early. I will praise thee, O Lord." Verse 9, "among the people, I will sing unto thee among the nations." And so this heart being fixed, as we're going to talk about tonight, produces praise and glory to God. Okay, interesting to note. Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Bible says this, Psalm 112, verse 5, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever." What would you say the opposite of being fixed is? Being moved, right? So a good man, the Bible says, shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Verse 7, "he shall not be afraid." Who's that? The good man, the righteous. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." Been plenty of those passed around in the last decade in America. "His heart is fixed." What's it say? Trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, "his heart is established. He shall not be," what? Afraid. Do you see the contrast from this morning's message? David running for his life to the Philistines, getting in trouble, then eventually getting to the cave Adullam, and he says, "My heart's fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." And as he writes other psalms throughout the book, he talks about what it means to have a heart that's fixed. It's a heart that praises God. It's a heart that glorifies God. It's a heart, listen, that's not easily moved away from being in love with God. And it's a heart that trusts God no matter what comes down the line. So the question tonight, how fixed is your heart? Because as we said this morning, there's things that come up in all of our lives. There's difficulties, problems, troubles, trials that come along every day. And if we're not careful, those things will move our heart away from God. They'll move our heart away from trusting God. They'll take our focus and get it on the problem, or it'll take our focus and get it on men. It takes our focus and gets it on possibilities. Boy, you know, our imaginations get out of control, don't they? That's why God said, "Cast those imaginations down, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ." So as life happens, may the Lord help our hearts here at Spring City Baptist Church to be fixed on God. The word "fixed" means this. It means settled. Ever had your heart just going wild? Ever felt like your heart was unsettled? So a fixed heart is a settled heart. It's an established heart. Listen, it's a firm heart. That doesn't mean it's hard. That means it's firm. It's not easily moved. And then I like this word. It's a stable heart. The Bible tells us in multiple places that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. When Jacob was blessing his sons, I believe I had this right, when Jacob was blessing his sons, he characterized Reuben, I preached a message on this a couple years ago, he characterized Reuben as unstable as water. I don't want that said about me. You know what it means when God or somebody else says that person is unstable? That means you can't trust them. That means you don't want to ask them for advice. That means you don't want to rely on them to do something important for you. Unstable people make me nervous. That'll make you nervous. Okay? So to have our heart fixed on God, our heart settled, it's established. We'll come to this here in a minute. It's firm and it's stable. Now, I'm sort of preaching Webster's Dictionary here. I hope that's okay. I know it's not inspired, but it's got some good stuff in it. Webster says there's two examples of fixed. And he talks about fixed stars. And he talks about fixed oils. And both of these are great applications for us tonight. A fixed star is this. It's a star that seems to retain the same position and organization throughout the year. All right? Let's wake you up tonight. What would you say are some fixed stars or fixed constellations? The North Star. Thank you, Gideon. Gideon passed tonight. All right. The North Star. You see the North Star? It's always pointing what direction? The opposite of that star would be the South Star, right? We're getting there tonight, okay? All right. So the North Star, right? Always fixed. What would you say are some fixed constellations? The Big Dipper. Okay. But now, the Big Dipper may rotate and turn, do all kinds of stuff, right? But you can still pick it out, right? The Little Dipper. I kind of have more of a problem with that, but nonetheless, it's up there somewhere, okay? I think Orion's Belt. I can't pick that out, but they talk about that it rotates around, does all that stuff, but it's all sort of the same configuration, okay? So those fixed stars, okay, they have the same apparent position, the same apparent relationship, even though they may just turn different directions. All right? Now, go with me, if you would, to Jude 13. Jude 13. And let's grab 1 Timothy chapter 5. Jude 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talking about these fixed stars. And God mentions the exact opposite. So that's worth looking at. Jude 13, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Can everybody hear me okay tonight? Brother Rick, you can hear me? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, maybe it's just me. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Jude 13. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Well, no, let's go to Jude 13 first. Jude 13. Now we're talking about fixed stars, which retain the same apparent position and organization. Jude 13 says this, talking about wicked men and women. Okay, if you come back up, he talks about verse 11, they've gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the way of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, talking about wicked men and women that are teaching ungodly doctrine. Okay, that's what Jude set out, right? Earnestly contend for the faith, right? And so it's set out to encourage the born-again believer, hey, you need to stand against ungodliness, you need to stand against false doctrines, you need to stand and you need to earnestly contend with them. Of course, we learned as we preached through this, to earnestly contend means to try to win them back, not just win the argument. Try to win the soul to Jesus, not just prove you're smarter than they are. Okay, but verse 13, he's talking about these filthy dreamers and things in verse 8, and he says they're raging waves of the sea. What controls the waves of the sea? The moon, right? When there's a hurricane, what happens where the hurricane makes landfall? Possibly. Right, you have this, what they call a swell, right? And it swells up, and people that think they have all the doctrinal answers in the Bible, their head just swells, right? And those raging waves, when the sea is raging, it's driven about by, the Bible says, winds. And it talks about those winds of doctrine that people get blown around by all the time. That is somebody who is not fixed. They're movable. I pray to God, we have grounded over the years of this church being here. I pray to God that you are grounded in the biblical doctrines, correct doctrines of the Bible, to where you are not being blown around by the winds of doctrine out there today. And I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, Calvinism. We spent months teaching against Calvinism in Sunday school classes and boards. We've got, you know, witnessing classes and institute classes, and we've got books and tapes and CDs. And Calvinism is making a huge comeback in born again in fundamental independent Baptist churches across America. You better brush up on it, because you're going to bump into it before long. Raging waves of the sea. I didn't even get where I was going. Foaming out their own shame. And the next phrase is, wandering stars. What a curious phrase. Wandering stars. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? I understand, you can turn to 1 Timothy 5, I understand that people like Abraham, out there on that plain, that folks in biblical time, they could navigate by the stars. I understand even some of the Native Americans in this continent, before Europeans got here, could navigate by the stars. And that, I think that would be fascinating. But you know what would be frustrating? If you were a Native American and you were trying to go south, and the North Star moved. So what's the application tonight? The application is this. Some people get there, listen, aren't stars beautiful? Aren't they shiny? Some of them twinkle, twinkle, right? What? And people get their eyes on the thing that's pretty and twinkly, and then it moves. And they don't realize it, but if they're taking their bearings in their life off of that twinkle, twinkle little star, they're going to be messed up. And the wandering stars God's talking about here are the false teachers, the heretics, that look shiny and twinkly, and they get people off course in their life because they follow a wandering star. Okay? All right. The bumper sticker. You've seen it. Not all who wander are lost. And I used to kind of chuckle about that until I studied this message, and I thought, what a stupid statement. Because a lot of people that do wander are lost. And maybe you're not lost, but wandering around is dangerous. One of my pet peeves has become driving in Russell County. Since COVID has hit, I'm telling you guys, I don't know what the problem is. I have no idea. But somebody that drives 15 miles an hour from Spring City to Lebanon has nothing else to do in life. There's no way they have a schedule. There's no way they have a life. They're just out existing, holding up the rest of us who have something to do.
Yeah. I follow them from all the way to Cleveland.
It's no wonder Adam's brakes went out. But no, in all seriousness, listen. You as a born-again believer, you kids, listen to me tonight. You children especially, you all ought to have some ambition in life. You ought to have some drive. You ought to have a schedule where you have to be somewhere at a certain time. And if you're in school, in public schools, I know you have that. You get 5 minutes between class. You know what they expect you to do in that 5 minutes? Go to the bathroom, go to your locker, get a drink of water, come in, sit down, get your pencil sharpened, and be ready when the bell rings. Does that always happen? Rarely. Come with us to CUC. You'll see that. And you know what? Adults are the same way. That's why the kids are that way. We're just loafing around. Got nothing else to do. It blows my mind. Listen. Born again believer, kids tonight, you ought to have a purpose in life. I ask my girls all the time, what are you going to be when you grow up? So far, we're teachers. Inhale that. That's good. Okay? May change. Don't answer out loud. You kids tonight, what do you want to be when you grow up? What kind of dreams do you have? What kind of aspirations do you have? Born again believer? Been saved 30, 40, 50, 60 years? What's your drive? You still got one? I hope so. Listen, just because you're getting toward the end of your life, or perhaps you're a young adult and you've got children and you're thinking, man, all I can do is raise my kids, then raise your kids for God. Make that your purpose. Well, you know, my kids are gone and you know, all I got's grandkids. Well, raise your grandkids for God. Make that your purpose. Have a drive. Have something to do every day for Jesus Christ. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. But I can't stand just wasting time. Now, I know. It's important to take some time and let your mind rest and your heart rest and just, we're going to talk about the end of the message, and get settled. Because the world is hectic and crazy. I understand that. But I'm saying, if there's a day that goes by, I ask myself every evening when I lay down in my bed, what did I do for God today? Well, you're the pastor. You, every day. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't feel like you got anything done for God today. And sometimes, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you got to force yourself to give somebody a tract so you can say, I did something for God today. But guys, we ought to have some drive and some purpose, some ambition, some aspiration. Don't just loaf through life. And when you drive to town, go the speed limit. All right. Fixed stars. Those fixed stars retain the same apparent position and organization. You know what happened to David this morning in Psalm 56? He allowed his heart to get moved away from God because of his fear. Fear is a great motivator. You know that? Amen. It'll motivate people to do right. The fear of God will motivate people to do right. The fear of man will motivate people to do wrong. Excuse me. The fear of God will motivate people to do good. The fear of man will motivate people to do evil. My Sunday school class will get that. Okay? Similarly, we ought not allow evil, trouble, trials to move our heart away from God. All right? So Webster talked about fixed stars. He also talked about fixed oils. Now, our family has used some of the essential oils. Many of you ladies are probably familiar with essential oils and all that, and that's all fine, well, and good. I do know there's a sect out there that tries to spiritualize using essential oils, and we're not there. That's not us. Okay, we believe God made them. We'll use them for the purpose that God gave them to us, but because we use them doesn't make us better than anybody else. Amen. All right, just, you know, help somebody's heart out tonight. A fixed oil is this. A fixed oil is an oil that does not readily or easily evaporate. It's called volatilization. That's a big word. That's why I said evaporate. Okay? So a fixed oil is an oil that is not readily or easily volatilized. Turn, if you would, Proverbs 25. Oh, I didn't read 1 Timothy 5, did I? Okay, if you want to write that down beside 1 Timothy 5, it's talking about these widows, right, that are young widows. And the Bible says there, verse 13, it says, "And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house." Don't let that be your purpose. All right, Proverbs 25. We ought not just be wandering around in life. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Talking about these fixed oils that are not readily or easily volatilized. Proverbs 25, 28. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." Now we're talking about a fixed heart tonight in context of these things. And so a fixed heart does not wander. Listen, church, sometimes you and I have to tell our heart no. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not going there. No, we're not watching that. No, we're not listening to that. We're not going to wander about today. We're going to stay on task and stay focused. Anybody else have that problem with your kids? Just focus, right? And so in the example of the fixed stars, our heart, we don't want our heart wandering. We don't want our heart just out there loafing around. In the example of fixed oils, we want our heart fixed so that it does not easily get out of control. And so here the Bible says, Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. We teach this in the character classes in school. You lose your temper, you lose the ability to change the situation. We talk about having yourself and your emotions under control. We talk about when bad things happen, we don't hit the basement floor. When good things happen, we don't shoot out of the sky like a rocket, right? We keep things within in a moderating zone or an operating zone, operating range. The word volatile means this. I like this word. It means fickle. You ever describe somebody as fickle? You ever been described as fickle? Okay. Right? Fickle. Just you can't predict it. You don't know what's going to happen. Somebody who's volatile is somebody who's liable to blow up at any second. We don't want to be that person. Parents, oh mercy, parents, you do not want your kids to view you as fickle and volatile. Because if they've got a serious problem, they ought to be able to come to mom and dad and know they're going to listen to me and not lose it. Grandparents, you too. Sunday school teacher, you too. Master club worker, you too. Pastor, you too. If our kids in this church cannot come to mom and dad, pastor or youth worker, and talk about something that is seriously going on in their life or something they're having trouble with without fear of us just blowing our top, God help us. A fixed heart is one that is going to stay steady no matter if the discussion is positive or negative. A fixed heart is one that's going to stay steady and calm no matter what that person tells you. Volatile means fickle. It means apt to change as a volatile temper. And so alcohol and ether are volatile substances. And we say that because they'll blow up just like that, right? One little spark and kaboom. That shouldn't be the description of you and I as born-again believers. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It means we don't blow our top at the first little bit. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness. Boy, Moses was a really good example of being a fixed heart, wasn't he? Except for that one time. But he was. Meekness and then temperance. Being under the Holy Spirit's control. Word volatile is described as fickle, apt to change, and oils that are volatile oils are essential oils and really anything that is in a cologne or a perfume. In other words, those oils are designed by God. They have an aromatic sense about them and they evaporate. As soon as they are dispensed, they evaporate. In other words, they waste away at the exposure to the elements. That should not describe mine and your spiritual life. Our lives should not be wasting away as the world gets more wicked and hotter and more wicked. Our lives ought to be fixed, steady, stable. Stable oils, fixed oils, are what you cook with, ladies. Coconut oil, olive oil, things of that nature. They're not easily blown up, for lack of a better term. So we have fixed stars, and we have fixed oils. And I hope that you are fixed and not what says in Joshua 7. Let's go there. Joshua chapter 7. Now David is running for his life in Psalm 57. The Jews will be running for their life in the tribulation time. And their heart better be fixed on God. I appreciate the fact that David is a man after God's own heart. Said after he just about messed it up, after he just about lost his life, he finally got the memo, he finally understood his situation, how to deal with it, and he said, God, my heart is fixed. And in case God didn't hear it the first time, he said it again, my heart is fixed. And what he promised was, I'm going to praise you, Lord, I'm going to serve you, God, I'm going to trust you because my heart is fixed, it's stable, it's settled on you, God, not my problem. Joshua chapter 7. Story here, as you're very familiar, chapter 6 was the conquering of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. And God had told them and said, do not take of the accursed thing. And we're going to find out here in chapter 7, as you know, that Achan took of the accursed thing. All right, and so nobody knows about it until the next day when they get to go up to Ai. And they're going to say, well, let's go beat Ai. They're a little city up there. Joshua, let's just send a few guys up there. Joshua says, yeah, that's great, man. We had a big victory. You know, people are tired. People are still, you know, picking up all the spoil down here. Let's just send about 3,000 guys up there. The children of Israel committed a trespass, verse 1, in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel, but nobody knows it yet. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate to Shibarim, and smote them into going down. Now look at this. We've talked about a fixed heart tonight, right? Look at what happens when sin enters the camp. Wherefore, the hearts of the people did what? Melted. And became as unstable as water. Church, the importance of you and I individually, as members of this body, the importance of you and I individually guarding our heart against sin and keeping sin out of our lives as much as we can is because not only will sin cause your heart and my heart to melt, but when our hearts melt, guess what everybody else's does? You think about fixed, solid, firm. And the opposite of that would be a heart that just melts. Has no strength, has no stability. Why did their heart do that? Because of sin. Let's look at another situation. Numbers 13. Now, we don't have the phraseology here that we're looking for, but we have the example. Numbers 13, you know, in Numbers 12, the spies have gone over into Canaan land. In Numbers 13, they're coming back now, and they're carrying all them big clusters of grapes and stuff, and they come back into the camp, verse 26, Numbers 13, 26. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron, the congregation of the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and all congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Just like who said? Just like God said. Right? So God said, I'm going to send you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And they go over there and, yep, there it is. Now, it wasn't, you understand. We don't have creeks flowing with milk and honey. You understand? There's plenty of cattle. right, where you get milk and all kinds of bees buzzing around. Make it so it's a land that floweth milk and honey. Okay, not in the creeks. It's just there's a lot of it there. I know you understand that, but you know. And they said it's the fruit of it. Nevertheless, so the land was exactly the way God described it, was it not? Nevertheless, the people. Oh, and what happens when we fear man? It brings a snare. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Ooh, there's some professional basketball players there. Big people, okay? And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, what's it say? Still. You know why? Because their hearts were starting to get shaken. And Caleb could see this thing's about to get off the rails. The land's exactly the way God told us it would be. Yeah, we're carrying this big cluster of grapes. Yeah, Moses, it's beautiful in there. But, you know, there's these big people over there. And they got these walled cities, and they got, you know, the latest security cameras on the outside. We don't think we can beat them. And Josh or Caleb can feel it. Here it comes. They're coming unglued. And he tried to, shh, calm down. I think God has to say that to us sometimes. Just calm down. Don't get so excited about this. It's going to be okay, Brother Cody White. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, verse 30, and said, let us go up at once. Boy, I appreciate Caleb, man. He tries to rally the troops and say, hey, let's just go right now. Y'all quit talking about it. Y'all quit worrying about it. Y'all quit trying to discuss it. Y'all quit trying to give excuses. Let's just go right now. Come on, let's go. Can't you see that? But oh, their hearts had already melted. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. You know what will shake your heart quicker than anything? It's an evil report. Brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now, come on. We're getting a little bit embellishing here, aren't we? We're stretching the truth a little bit, aren't we? Land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Well, if it eats up the inhabitants, why is there anybody living there? And the people that are living there are bigger than you, which means they're pretty healthy. Just, you know. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. We saw that the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And can't you just see that heart melt? 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured. Look what a melted heart causes. Murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. That is not a fixed heart on God. That is a melted heart that's unstable. Listen, if we fold, as born-again believers, if we fold at the first sign of pushback or the first sign of failure in our Christian lives, we will amount to absolutely nothing for God. And so many people, they get born again, they get in church, they start going to church faithfully, and all of a sudden a difficulty comes up, a trial comes up, something doesn't go the way they think it ought to go in their preconceived imagination. They think, well, God's failed me. Don't let your heart melt. Stay fixed in your heart on God. Stay settled in your heart on God. Well, we went to this church and we thought it was great, and then all of a sudden somebody didn't say hi to us, and you know, we're going to go somewhere else. And that's silly, but that happens every single day, guys. I talked to somebody this week, hadn't been in church in 3 years. And they just volunteered the information up. You know, get people talking, they tell you what you want to hear. And they said, yeah, you know, we were going to this church and, you know, we never were really treated like family, and so we left. Their heart melted. It didn't stay firm and fixed on God. You know, the people that stay in church like this all their life are people that have their heart fixed on God. And I appreciate there's people in this room that have your heart obviously fixed on God, or you wouldn't still be here. So thank you. Thank you for being a good example to the rest of us. Because we're always going to go through trouble. We're always going to have difficulty. We're always going to have things that don't meet our expectations and it falls short of what we think it ought to be. And if every time that happens, our heart melts and we get swayed by the wind and blown by the wind and moved over here and moved over there, we will amount to absolutely nothing for God. And before long, we'll be falling out by the wayside, watching the world go by, making excuses as to why I'm not involved in the work of God. Sad. Children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, verse 2, and the whole congregation unto them, would God we had died in the wilderness, in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? I'm telling you, it's amazing. I mean, God right here tells Moses, I'll make a new nation out of you. It's amazing he didn't just strike him dead. That unstable heart, that melted heart murmurs against God. Wherefore hath the Lord, verse 3, brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Think about the ignorance of that statement. They were dead in Egypt. If they stayed there any longer, that Pharaoh, he'd have killed every one of them. The Holocaust would have had nothing on that. 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. You know what that melted heart does? A heart that's not fixed on God is a rebellious heart. Amen. That heart that's not fixed on God, the only other option for that heart to trust is in itself. And we learned a few weeks ago, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's got no right leading anybody around. And they said, one another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. There's some guys with some fixed hearts. Fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake. As far as I can tell, this is Joshua and Caleb. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. It's where we need to be. Well, you know, I heard about that church in there. No. You need to be in that church. Well, you know, most churches, they just about all about the people and the money. No. You need to be in church. Amen. A Bible-believing church that will help your life. It's good for you. Don't let the evil report of the world melt your heart when it comes to church. Don't let the evil report of Christians that are carnal and backslidden on God melt your heart from serving God. We need some Joshuas and Caleb in this generation coming up to say, you know what? I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. My heart's fixed on God and I'm going to serve Him. Joshua, they spake in the company and Caleb of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us in this land and give it us, a land which, as God said, floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. And melted hearts, a fearful heart. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Can you imagine? Two guys of Aaron and Moses are on their face begging God not to kill them. Here's Joshua and Caleb saying, come on, guys, quit talking like that. Let's get in there, man. God's promised us this land. Let's go forward for God. Let's go forward for what He said. Let's go inherit the promises God's given us. And the people say, kill those two guys. That's a melted heart. That's a heart that's not fixed on God and fixed on the Word of God. But Caleb and Joshua, them boys had a heart fixed on God. They were willing to go when everybody else wasn't. And I think God rewarded them for that, did he not? All the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children. In other words, God had to come down and stop it. 1 Peter 5. There's all kinds of examples of this in the Bible. Another one that we won't preach a whole lot on tonight, other than just mentioning it as we go to 1 Peter 5, is Zerubbabel. If you remember him, he was the first man sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And you contrast Zerubbabel with Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah got the job done, didn't they? Ezra and Nehemiah faced the same political pressure, the same worldly pressure, if you will, from evil men and women to stop the work and don't continue in the work. They faced the same pressure that Zerubbabel did, only Ezra and Nehemiah had their heart fixed on God and the work. Zerubbabel allowed his heart to melt. And what happened was Zerubbabel said, okay, we'll stop for a while. And when that happened, the people, instead of building the temple, built their own houses. And you have Haggai's message to them. 1 Peter 5. As we preach this morning, church, trouble's going to come. Difficulty's going to find us. Evil's going to pop up in your life before the week's over with. How will we handle that? Perhaps your expectations of God and of church are going to get disappointed. How will you handle that? Perhaps God doesn't let you do what you want to do. How will you handle that? Will your heart remain fixed on God, or will those circumstances and answers from God melt your heart and cause you to fall away? 1 Peter 5, God tells you what he wants for you, born-again believer. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That's what God wants. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Could I say tonight a fixed heart is a humble heart? And a melted heart is a proud heart? Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We preached on this Wednesday night, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Could we say tonight, a fixed heart is a strong heart. A fixed heart gives spiritual strength. A melted heart causes spiritual weakness. And the lions that are prowling around the African Sahara, looking for something to eat, are not looking for the zebra that's in top tip, top shape. They're not going to go after the wildebeest that is bulked up and beefy and strong like all the other wildebeests. No, they're going to find the animal that is what? Weak. They're going to find the animal that is sickly. They're going to find the animal that has wandered off by themselves, not paying attention. And similarly, born-again believers, the devil's going to find you at your weakest moment and try to destroy you. He's going to find you if you allow your heart to wander off from God and not pay attention. You're not walking circumspectly in your life. You can guarantee the devil's going to find you. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast. Steadfast, that sounds like fixed, doesn't it? That sounds like settled. That sounds like strong. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions. Afflictions? I didn't sign up for any afflictions, did you? No, they're there, aren't they? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the great God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Okay, that's not fun, but I promise you, your suffering will either make you stronger or weaker, and it's our choice. That suffering we go through in life, those difficulties we go through in life, those situations that we do not like to be in no matter what. If we will stay strong and steadfast, God will strengthen us through that. And if we allow our heart to melt, we will become weak and steamrolled by the problem. The God of all grace calls unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect. Do you want to be perfect? I want to be perfect. And the Lord said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want to be the complete Christian. I want my life to be perfect before God, don't you? We'll never attain that without going through some troubles and standing strong in those troubles. We'll never, never become what God wants us to be as born-again believers if we let our hearts melt at the sign of persecution and tribulation. And when those evil reports start coming, if you give ear to that for 1 second, it'll affect your heart. And that heart will begin to melt. And we won't become perfect. And it goes on to say, not only make you perfect, the next word is establish. Like established. Like firm. Right? Strong. Establish, strengthen, and the word of the day is settle you. Shh. It's going to be all right. Just I told the Sunday school teachers this morning, I should have done it tonight, but I didn't. But I was tempted this morning to have us sit here for 1 minute in silence and just clear your mind, clear your heart, pray and ask God to help the day, bless the day, help you in your heart for a minute. You know how hard it is for some people to sit still for a minute? And turn that brain off. It's difficult for some people, but it's necessary. The Bible says God wants to make you perfect. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to establish you. And God wants to settle you. He wants you and I to have a fixed heart, not a heart that melts and is easily moved. We won't sing it tonight, but we sing a song in congregational, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Certainly we've all felt that proneness to wander, that proneness to leave the God we love because things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. What we need to do is turn around and say, God, I'm sorry for that. Here's my heart. Lord, would you fix it? Would you settle it? Would you strengthen it? Help me to stand for you in a world that's